those friends come in contact with us, come back into our lives, and we thank God for them. But there are a few that no matter how many times we move, we can't get away from them. And this couple here tonight, this morning, is one of those couples. Brian and Diana have been friends with us for a long, long time, and have been dear friends to us. And, you know, I've asked them this morning to share their story. Because every one of us has a unique story. And it's unique because it's God, as we talked about last week, it's unique because it's God that writes the story. So Brian and Diana, come and just, you're crying, don't. Yeah. Brian and Diana, come and share whatever it is God's laid on your heart for us this morning. Oh, and if you would, do we have any Cedarville University grads here?
I didn't either, actually. I didn't graduate from Cedarville, but I do work at Cedarville. And this is the thing I'm supposed to use?
Clicker.
That's your clicker, yes.
Yes, okay. And that will work according to what you how instructed me. Thank you for letting us come. I know you had nothing to do with it, but thank you for not walking out as soon as he said he wasn't speaking this morning. We have been friends with Brian and Judy for a long time, more than 35 years. We met in the early 80s, and we'll talk about that a few times as we go through our story.
That means we're really old.
And we are older than they are. No, we're not, actually. He's older than all of us. Anyway, just a short background story. We all share a little bit of our testimony, but mostly we're going to focus on the more recent years rather than our first 40 years of life. We're going to talk about the last 20 years. Man, I sound old when I say it that way. But in our adult lives, we did serve up at Scroon Lake, not at the Board of Life as much as at the church, Mountainside Bible Chapel, and partnered with the Gowers in youth ministry there at Mountainside. And after that, we went on to serve overseas in Budapest, Hungary with ABWE and spent 6 years serving in and out of those in the early 90s, the wall came down, those former Soviet Union, Warsaw countries, where we were able to minister there in the early 90s. And then in 94, the Lord brought us back. We had actually hosted Cedarville short-term mission teams while we lived overseas and connected with Cedarville at that point, and they invited us to come be part of their missions program. So since 1994, I've been leading the overseas ministries and some other ministries stateside now in the last few years. They added another facet. Not that we don't care about the local ministry, but it was a two-part ministry for many years. But another fellow changed roles, and I took on both local ministries, local church, Awanas, jail ministries, different things that students can do as they go through the college. And Brian Davis may say something about Cedarville. I'm not on the academic side, I'm on the staff side. And what is thrilling about Cedarville and many other good Christian colleges where you can go get an education. Cedarville does do a great job with engineering, all the sciences, nursing, pharmacy, those things that are important for training, for where God may have you as a young person preparing for a life of vocation. But in the midst of that training for vocation, the emphasis on training for a life of ministry, regardless of what title may be over your door or label you wear in your shirt as you work, as a Christ follower, we all have opportunity and expectation of sharing the gospel and being Christ representatives as we go and serve. So that's what I'm excited about being at Cedarville. It is a liberal arts college, but many of the students do go and minister both locally and overseas. Matter of fact, one of the things, as we arrived at Gowers the other night, late at night, I was on the phone, even though I'm off on vacation, we had one of our teams coming back from Ghana, West Africa, soccer and medical team, a unique combination. But everything was fine until they got back in America, and then all their flights were messed up. So sometimes we have a misperception that traveling overseas is the most dangerous thing. Coming back to America can be hazardous as well. But I enjoy what I do. It's great to work with college students. Should keep us young. That's one of the ideas. Diana stays very young because she works with kindergartners. She's a kindergarten teacher, has been for the last 16 years in the same school, and we enjoy what we do there at Cedarville, both in ministry and in living our lives, and we'll talk about our church. and our kids as we go through the story. Pick up the thing and click and get going. And I didn't notice when I was in Sunday school this morning, there's no clock in the back. And what's that mean? Actually, a clock in the back means nothing. So what I've been taught years ago is churches have a clock in the front because the only people that care about the time are the people here. The guy up here that doesn't care. Anyway, Jeremiah 29:11-12. Actually, my wife's favorite verses and on her Bible is that her Bible covers. That's part of this passage or more than this passage probably. God's word says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God's word is very precious, and we all, I believe that, or you wouldn't be here this morning surrounding yourselves with opportunities to hear from God's word. God's word is a manual for living. It is our handbook, if you please. When you get a new appliance or a new computer, and you don't have an IT person nearby to coach you, as most of us need, but when we get things, we have owner's manual. God has written his word as our creator. He manufactured us, and the manual for living is the word of God. And sometimes we go to it more fervently and more dependently when we go through difficult times. The owner's manual that you get with your appliances, whatever, says in the very beginning, read, what's it say, read completely before operating or whatever. How many do that? Read the whole manual. No engineers here, I guess. An engineer, okay. Your tech guy, yeah, that makes sense. Whenever we have problems, you know, and when the tech guy comes to help us, he usually says, well, right here in the manual, it says plug this in here, not there. I tried to help jump a car the other day, and I couldn't find, and I did the wrong thing. Diane goes, are you sure you have positive? Oh, yeah. And you know how if you do the positive, that's not a good thing. The operator's manual tells you how to operate the appliance. God's word teaches us how to operate our lives. And as you go through life, I think the word of God becomes more precious as we do go through life circumstances and different things that draw us to him in a more powerful way. We're going to emphasize the last 20 years. Some things that God has taught us, we just want to share with you. And as Pastor Brian said, we all have a story, and sharing that story is very important. And our background, we both were brought up, and we were very blessed to be brought up by Christian parents. We actually, though she was in North Carolina and I was in Pennsylvania, as we got to know one another and shared our testimonies, we actually were saved the very same summer. We both came to Christ as four-and-a-half-year-olds, very young, but because of the established foundation of the Word of God in our homes, we both came to Christ very early in our lives. And then you jump ahead to our early married life. We got married in 1978, which doesn't matter, except next year's 40, so it doesn't matter a lot. We'll celebrate 40 years of marriage. And then in the 80s, we moved back up to Scroon Lake, and that's where we met the Gowers. And this isn't when we met. This is 15 years after we met. Take a look at that. That's, if you can't tell, that's Judy on the left. I'm sorry, just kidding. Judy tells us it's 1995. We met in Altoona, Pennsylvania. They were, at that point, you were in Pennsylvania, and we were in Ohio, and we met in the mountains, and just had a great time together. And what I was going to say was, a number of things I'm going to say, but I'm supposed to stay on this. There is a clock on my phone. We did meet, and what's interesting is, as we met there in the early 80s, Diane and Judy hit it off really quickly. Brian and I took a little while, mostly because I couldn't remember his name. And he hasn't forgiven me for that in 35 years. But what's amazing, and one of the things we'll talk about in our sharing this morning, is the need to be connected with the church body, with the body of believers, with a small group, with friends that will challenge you at times, friends that will stand with you. And that happened, and not by great design, not by my strategy of life as a 20-something-year-old, but God brought us together in a very special way. And we met and really had a great time of fellowship and ministry together.
We are going to focus our sharing time on this last 20 years. As our children became adults, they made decisions that affected the whole family. And we've been driven to our knees many times and back to the Word of God. Paul wrote, Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The opposite is also true. I cannot have victory or lasting joy without Christ. In December 2000, our oldest son, John, came to tell us, now in this picture, it's his current family, but that's our son, John, at the top of the picture, and he came to tell us that his girlfriend was pregnant. This news filled us with grief and anxiety. He grew up in a Christian home. We had been on the mission field for a few years. We had come back. We were in ministry together, and then he came to us with this news. It was a real punch in the gut. After counsel and prayer, we went ahead and planned their wedding. The pastor that we talked to said they're going to elope anyway, so you might as well, you know, encourage them in their marriage rather than walk away from them. And he said, you want to keep a relationship with them as they go through this rough time in their lives. So we did do that. One of the things that a thread that we will reflect on through our sharing is the connection with our church body and the larger body of Christ and the community of believers that surrounded us, including in this community are Brian and Judy, who came to Central PA to be at our son's wedding with us. That was a real blessing in our lives.
Absolutely. Definitely a less than ideal way to start a marriage for our son John and his wife. But still, even then, because we believe, because of the love of God through us and through her parents and through our local church, very forgiving, welcoming, without condoning the choices they made and the sin in their lives, they were restored to fellowship both at her church in Pennsylvania and our church in Ohio, and started their lives well. Got involved in the church, got connected. They started to have more children, and in what, 6 years, they had four children. And were involved, and they were involved in the little local body. They went through some tough times, even in those early 6 years. They lost the home they were renting. It was not their own home, but they lost all their possessions in the home to a house fire early in their marriage, when they only had one child at that point. And the church surrounded, there was injury, there was a lot that took place during those early days, but they were involved in their church, and their church really did prove themselves faithful in surrounding them, and we appreciate that. But choices that they made, a gradual pulling away as their lives developed, and as they can't even tell us why they started to drift away from church, other than some differences, and I know you don't have any differences here about music and styles and that kind of thing, but whatever it was, and that was part of it in their lives, they just started to move away from the church, and as they moved away from the church, they moved away from the connections that they had, the accountability groups, the fellowship. And as a result of that, they found other places. And soon their lives started to go, I'd say, spiral down spiritually. And before long, about eight years after they were married, their marriage broke up. And again, that was a process of maybe 2 years where they first came and said, we're separating. And he brought the four children to our home at Christmas. We believe it was either 07 or 08. I guess maybe 08. Mm-hmm. And told us what was going on. A year later, they came together and said, we're going to make this work for the sake of the kids. Less than a year later, 3 months later, they were separated again. The marriage ended. And today, our oldest son, who at one point wanted to be a missionary, and actually, as we were serving overseas, he actually had what I would call a little philosophy of missions, which was exciting for me as a dad to hear him talk about, his desire to serve. Mm-hmm. But before long, as the spiral continued and choices continued to be wrong choices, sinful choices, he now would say he's an atheist, so would not believe in Christ at all. A number of years ago, we were listening to different speakers, and one of the speakers, I don't have the exact quote, but he talks about the principle that life is really made up of small choices, not the big mountain decisions, but the daily choices we make that really have an effect day by day. And sometimes insignificant, seemingly insignificant choices steer us in our long-term direction in life.
Our second son, Tim, got married and finished college and served in church on church staff and youth and music. They desired to have children, but they were not able to conceive. Eventually, they were able to have a son, and then they adopted another from Ethiopia. I was privileged to go with Katie when they went to get Magursa. He's down here under Tim's hand right here. That was wonderful. He was 6 months old when we went to get him. And then they found out that summer, that same summer, they were pregnant with twins. And then they had another baby, and it was a girl. Yay! God was just blessing their family. Mm. They were in ministry, and things were going great. Mm. Then Satan attacked, and temptation was not resisted, and our son had to step down. Another punch in the gut. And a test of our faith. We praise God for Tim's wife who forgave him and was determined to allow restoration, and he worked hard. She worked hard once again to trust him, and their marriage is stronger now than it ever was. It makes us cry because God has been so faithful to them, and his mercy is just wonderful. And they went to counseling. Tim said, I don't know why people don't go to counseling before they have problems. You know, because they are stronger now than they ever have been in their marriage. And today, Tim works for Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs, Colorado. They've connected with a good church out there. They have a small accountability group to strengthen their personal and spiritual walk and their marriage. And they still are connected with their counselor. The strand of three cords that Pastor Brian mentioned in the wedding yesterday, also pictured in our need for fellowship, is also pictured in our need for fellowship and support in our community of believers. We could not have survived all the different things our kids have put us through without our fellowship of believers.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. And you read that passage yesterday as well. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up.
So. It is sad that people choose to move away from the family of God, the connection. And that's, we use that word over and over again because we saw it. We saw it in our kids, and we have two more kids to tell you about. And in each case where there was failure and disappointment and a walk away from Christ, I believe started with walking away from the body of believers that God ordained that we gather together and spend time together in spiritual community. And it's stated so well in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. If I could challenge you, just don't stop being faithful to your church. Connect and stay connected with this body and with your circle, with your smaller group, with your Bible studies, with the activities you have. It's so, so vital for our spiritual health. Our daughter, our third child, married a Christian college graduate. We had some concerns. As we look back, those concerns should have been more flags than just concerns, but at that point, we had no biblical reason, we felt, to not endorse and encourage the wedding. But concerns rose quickly soon after the marriage. Less than 4 years, two babies. She called in desperation on a Sunday night. Remember it well. It was a February night, 2010. And we were actually at a deacon's home doing a welcome gathering with the new members in our church. Mm-hmm. And she was fearful for herself and her boys' safety. Within 24 hours, the fellow deacon and I were on our way to Tennessee to pick her up and bring she and her two boys to us in Ohio. And once again, a lot of other details went into it after multiple attempts for counsel and encouragement and reaching out. Her former husband would not change, and that marriage ended. Once again, a punch in the gut for parents. Mm-hmm. And I know your pastor, Brian, he does not give you Proverbs 22:6 as a promise that as we raise our children according to what we believe Scripture teaches, that it's a guarantee that they're going to make good choices. It's a proverb. We should still train our children all we can, bringing them here, getting them in class, getting them in Bible school, and so forth. you do what you can, but they still make their own choices. And we've been comforted in that in these times of wrestling and questioning. But God's been faithful to us, and that's really what we want to share with you this morning.
This is actually a picture of Renee now, but at the time, she did have some difficult years following her breakup as a single mom. She went back to school to get a nursing degree. She supported herself and her two sons with her husband's child support, and we were with her in court every time she had to go before a judge for anything. And her husband tried to bring her back to court and for several times, and it was just a really hard 2 to 3 years. And during that time, her friends that surrounded her, she made some poor choices, and because she became pregnant with a son out of wedlock, she was about to put him up for adoption, when two godly women stepped into her life and changed her perspective. And she called me to inform me that she would be keeping the baby. She began walking with the Lord again and studying the Word of God, and she finished her nursing degree, got a local job, and she met a computer tech. That's Jesse right over there. And he is a believer, and they began going to church together. They courted in the old-fashioned way, and God brought them together. They got married 3 years ago, and they already have two children together.
Our kids like kids. We figured that's a real compliment.
Yeah.
We're not caught up to Gowers yet. We have 14. You said 16, so we're catching up. We got one on the way, another one on the way.
But we praise God for his love and mercy towards Renee, and that illegitimate baby is standing here in the blue shirt. I don't know if I can say that. You're not supposed to cry.
Well, you gave me clean airs because you knew I would. Liam is his name on the far left there, and this past Thursday, the 29th of June, they called and let us know that he has Jesus in his heart. So now it's my turn. Okay. 2000, oh, there he is. That's another picture. That's Liam. That was Diana holding Liam a few years ago. But praise God for his decision to follow Christ at that young age. Mm-hmm. This is our youngest son. He looks like a rock star. He's a joy. He's another creative young man. But in 2007, he continued to make choices that we just said he needed to make a choice, either come clean and talk to us openly and honestly, or move. And he did move out that July 2007. Mm-hmm. Another punch in the gut as we helped him load his little trailer and pull away in the van that I helped him buy for his rock band. So again, we make decisions, we support, we do all we can to encourage our kids in areas that they want to work in and God can use. And we still are praying God will use David. As he drove away, we left, once again questioning ourselves and feeling defeated. But again, we were driven to our knees and prayed like never before. So we went through that.
We joined a parents' prayer group to pray for our wayward children. And 10 years later, we're still in the group. And they have been such a blessing to us. It's funny because my siblings all say, we don't know how you're hanging in there. Well, when we get up in front of people, we cry about it. But
we don't do this often. We're not professionals at this.
No. No, we're not.
Her brother tried to coach her how to sing because she sings. How to sing through the tears. It's a breathing thing. But
I can't do that. Can you, Judy? I can't either. But, no, we just have really been blessed and encouraged by our friends. And some of them have horror stories to tell, you know. And it just shows us, you know, that we're not alone. We walk together through the struggles of life. Well, Brian stepped back from his leadership roles at our church And then we won on the radio. We won a weekend to remember with the couples. And when we went there, we sat there at this weekend to remember, learning about Bible studies that they put on in churches and that you can purchase the whole packet. So we were considering purchasing it and talking together about maybe God has done this in our lives so that we can, you know, work with young couples and strengthen their marriages, because we've had 2 kids so far that have divorced. And we won that weekend. They had drawings. We won a Bible study. So we brought it home, ordered a couple more books, and opened our home for a couple's Bible study. And we did that for about 3 years in our home, as well as going to the parents' prayer group at our church. And we were ministered to, we were encouraged, and we feel and know because of testimonies of the couples that came to our small group that they were encouraged and strengthened in their marriages as well. This is our prayer for our children. And I'm going to jump forward a little bit. It's Ephesians 4:12b through 16. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and it, as each part does its work. I want to throw in something here before we move on. Our son David, that did leave home, quickly restored fellowship with us, and we talked with him, and within 2 years he got married, and their marriage seemed strong to us. 5 years into their marriage, they divorced. And so we're not experts at divorce, but we've had our share of struggles with our children. Right now, David is still living in Dayton near us, and he is dating a godly girl, and we hope that someday they will marry. I think they're both a little scared away from marriage because they see a lot of their friends and peers marry and divorce. And so they're very, I think, scared away from that. But we're praying for David and Celeste to come back to the Lord and walk with the Lord.
Yeah. One of the things we pray for is that our son John, who would claim to be an atheist, and as you pray desperately for your children, and Brian mentioned this yesterday at the wedding as well, that as your children go through difficult times, you would do anything you could to help them. You would give your life. And we start praying that way, which is a serious prayer, that the Lord would do whatever he needed to do. And in 2015, it was another challenging year. Our son, at that point, was 35 years old, John, our oldest. He was hospitalized with kidney failure. He was born with a flawed kidney, basically, and he didn't take good care of himself. He was a single dad working with raising his 4 kids, so struggling, of course, in many ways, but did not take care of himself, which affected that. I mean, a lot of people live a long time with some kidney weaknesses, but his just continued to deteriorate, and he was hospitalized in February 2015 with blood pressure going through the roof of over 300 or something like that, and they were afraid of a lot of other things that could happen with that high blood pressure as his body tried to compensate for the failing kidney. Mm-hmm. Once they did stabilize that, they attempted to medically improve the kidney function, and that seemed to be working, but then by April it was not. It was very evident they had to start dialysis and somewhat of an emergency procedure. And apparently a blood infection was introduced to his body through that emergency
port
that they put in. So we returned to the emergency room that late April with John and his wife, Jen. The blood infection was attacking his heart, shooting blood clots to his brain, his lungs, other organs. You could see it popping up on his surface of his skin and so forth. If you've ever seen anybody with blood infection, it's just horrifying. The the hallucinations, the confusion, the fear, a 35-year-old holding our hand, fearful. And he actually could see whatever was coming, the hallucinations. He goes, here it comes again. But it's a very scary time. Doctors wouldn't give us any prognosis of the damage, because it looked like it was heart valve damage, definitely some brain damage, and they weren't sure what else, lung damage. But they said it could be temporary or it could be permanent. So we thought we were losing our son, at least to his full capacity. So over the night, we shared rotation with John's wife, and Diane and I was just, it was like a swing shift, so he was not alone there in the room. Mm-hmm. Diana sang over him.
Prayed aloud.
Prayed aloud, held his hand, as he feared the hallucinations that he was sensed coming on him. So we weren't sure what that was going to do, but in time, about 3 or 4 days, that started to clear up. They were able to clear the infection with all the heavy meds and everything through the IVs. God brought him through this. There's no doubt in our mind, the mind of thousands. Brian talked about people around the world. When you have a family like this and you've got worldwide connection with your missionaries, with the contacts, amazing different contacts we have as we, I guess as we get old, but we get to know people and can share things. People around the world, and that's the only good thing about Facebook. No, I shouldn't say the only good thing, but because our daughter put things on Facebook, we knew people around the world were praying for our son. God brought him through this. And we continue to pray that God would open John's eyes to see God's hand in John's life. Mm-hmm. The following March, as we went through that, there was no change in John. Since one of the, I'm sorry, we're going long here, Mr. Pastor Gower. During one of his hallucinations, he would be lucid and hallucinate and come back and forth. And he asked Jen, his wife, he goes, do I believe in Jesus? Because he was hearing a lot about Jesus in his time there as we would pray over him and sing with him. And she said, do you want me to tell you what you've told me? And apparently, over the years, he would tell her, I used to believe in Jesus, but I don't anymore. And he asked, do I believe in Jesus? And she gave him that answer. Mm-hmm. Following March, his wife, another amazing thing, she donated a kidney to extend his life. So Jen, his wife, is now his donor and life extender. And again, just a picture of God giving for the sake of a life. The picture of God giving his son to give us eternal life. John's wife extended his life by donating her kidney. And again, just praying that they will see what God has done for them. Just even pictured by what their own love relationship and care has produced. Mm-hmm. Then we do continue to ask God to do whatever it takes to bring John and Jen to a place of acceptance of his salvation and then fully surrender to him. As we continue to pray that way, we had another situation in 2015.
In early December, a tumor was discovered in Brian's pancreas. This was shocking news to us. It's another punch in the gut. It is located in the upper part of his pancreas, and it's in an inoperable location. We've had relatively healthy lives for 59 years, and on his 60th birthday, he got a three-part radiation CT scan. And the first biopsy they did was negative, but the scans and the blood work indicated that he had a cancerous tumor. The good news is, the doctor said to us, it's one of the better types to have in the pancreas. It's a neuroendocrine tumor. He's on his second regimen. A year and a half ago, he started chemo, and he's on his second regimen of oral chemo this year. And his blood markers are showing good response. We're praying that the tumor will disappear or shrink enough to be removed. We are just thankful that God has walked with us through every stage of this whole process. One of the things he didn't put in our testimony is that at Christmas, we went to Colorado Springs to visit Tim and Katie, and Brian fell down the stairs at their house and broke his shoulder and dislocated it. So he's 20 weeks out from surgery and something therapy.
Like getting old is no fun.
At this point.
60 was not a good year for me, apparently. But
so now you're 61. Maybe I'll be fine from here on. But we are just trusting the Lord that he would even use these circumstances in our children's lives to bring them back to Him. We're especially praying for John and David, John our oldest and David our youngest. We were able to go to the beach together.
It's 2015.
And after that is when we discovered Brian was having issues with his blood sugar, and it's all related to the tumor that we found a year later. So we are thankful that our kids love us. Mm. They communicate well with us. All of them do. And we're just loving them back to the Savior. So.
And even as we tell our story, our desire is not at all to say, you know, feel bad for us, but draw close to the Lord, and He will carry you through. And that's what we've experienced. As we started, everyone has a story. As we share God's grace and God's provision, do the same and share with others what God has done. Verse is so very precious as we go through different difficult times from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And it's been our desire today just to encourage you to keep on being faithful. And music has been such a big part of our lives. We're going to end our part before Pastor Brian comes back up with a powerful song.
And you're willing to open yourself up to us. Their story may be different than yours, but it doesn't mean that your story doesn't have pain. Because God uses pain. Doesn't matter who it was, but they said pain is God's megaphone to get our attention. And as I was thinking about what you guys are sharing today, I believe that whatever you're going through today, God has brought these people into your life to be that third strand. He's given you the Holy Spirit to get you through life, but He also brings people to get you through life. I remember before we came here, I was let go from a ministry, and you guys drove all the way from Cedarville to be with us, because that's what friends do. And some of you, your story is very close. I know, very close to what you've heard this morning. For some of you, it's far different, but it's still your story. And it's a story that God wants to write in your life. You that have kids that aren't walking with God, I would encourage you what Brian said. Pray that God would do whatever He needed to do to get those kids to where they need to be. So you can trust God. You can trust God. So when you pray those things, be ready. They've experienced it. We've experienced it. It can hurt. But when you pray that way, get out of God's way. Allow God to do whatever He needs to do to get your children back to Him. And the grace that Brian and Diana have seen is the same grace that God wants to give you. If you're not experiencing God's grace, it's not because it's not there. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. See, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Satan wants to destroy us. God wants to mend us. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we close in this song this morning, entitled, Mended.
Can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. Oh, but I can still recognize the one I love in your tear-stained eyes.